Blog Talk Radio. I'm not going back. I'm moving ahead. Hallelujah. Good morning. Good morning, everybody. This is the glorious day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Grateful, thankful, and as always, blessed to be with you this morning as we move forward in the Word of God. And it is what? It is a great word this morning. On this 27th day of April, I cannot believe this month is almost over. Wow, God is good. And his mercy endures forever and all time. So let's get started today. Our word this morning is coming out of Judges chapter 20 to chapter 21. I can't believe it. On tomorrow, we'll be starting a new book, the book of Ruth. Wow. And today's psalm is the 51st psalm, verses 12 through 19. Our proverb is the 15th Proverbs, verses 1 through 3, which is from our title for this morning. It's coming from this word, as well as from Luke chapter 19. In our title for this morning that God has given me is The Eyes of the Lord Sees Everything. Can y'all say that with me? The Eyes of the Lord Sees Everything. Father God in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for seeing us, for seeing our hearts, for seeing our souls, for seeing our minds, for seeing our spirits, God. We are your sons and daughters, and all we can say is thank you, Lord. But we are thankful, grateful, and blessed to be given another day, to be given a do-over, to be better today than we were on yesterday. Father God, I thank you for breath in my body. I thank you for eyes to see, ears to hear, and a mouth to speak your word, God. Father God, I lift up this word asking you as always to increase as I decrease. Father, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my humble heart be acceptable in your holy and divine sight. For you, Lord God, are my strength. You, Lord God, are my redeemer. You, Lord God, are my everything. And all I can say is thank you for your son who died on Calvary's cross for my sinful self. That he took all my sins, all my shame, all of my issues to the cross. And all I can say is that it's in his name I lift up this holy word, asking you, Father, to speak through me that those that hear this word and are not saved will be saved and will say, what must I do to know Jesus as my Lord and Savior? In this word, Lord, I pray that some heart is touched. In Jesus' name, amen. Giving honor to God, who is, again, the source of my strength and the strength of my life. I am grateful this morning to be with you. I woke up this morning coughing early this morning. Been dealing with some issues, as many know who have listened over this last week, with bronchitis and sinuses and all these issues. And I am grateful that God has given me a voice. Hallelujah. I'm grateful that God has given me another chance to speak his word. I prayed before I opened up asking God to please help me to speak this morning without losing breath, but I am grateful to be with you. And we're going to go and finish up the story of the sons of Benjamin, who we all know didn't know history. and had a Sodom and Gomorrah moment. The difference was there was not an angel to protect God's people. There was not an angel to protect a Lot. And the Levite's concubine was brutally murdered and brutally abused. And we're going to call it like it was. She was raped and brutalized and murdered and left on the doorstep to die. The next morning, the Levite found her dead, picked her up after telling her to wake up like she was sleeping after all the brutality. Then he took her home, cut her up, and this is where we are today because he sent her body, part, to the tribes. And so this is what happens, because that is some, I'm just going to call it, he had some issues too. To be a man of God, he had a lot of issues, and I think there was a little bit of resentment there because she had acted the harlot and gone home to her daddy, and he had gone and picked her up, and he, you know, was taking her back home, and some things, these things, awful things happened, you know, giving a recap of yesterday's work. And so I think that he had a little bit of madness in him too, you know, because you think about this, to cut up a body is some sick old stuff, y'all. That is some sick old stuff, but that's what he did. So let's get to our next word for this morning. And again, we're in Judges chapter 20, verse 1. So all the children of Israel came out from Dan to Beersheba as well as from the land of Gilead. And the congregation gathered together as one man before the Lord in Mizpah. And the leaders of all the people, all the tribes of Israel, presented themselves in the assembly of the people of God. 400,000 foot soldiers who drew the sword. Now the children of Benjamin heard that the children of Israel had gone up to Mizpah. Then the children of Israel said, "Tell us, how did this wicked deed happen?" So the leaders, the husband of the woman who had murdered, answered and said, "My concubine and I went into Geba, which belongs to Benjamin, to spend the night. And the men of Geba rose against me and surrounded the house at night because of me. They intended to kill me, but instead they ravaged my concubine so that she died. So I took hold of my concubine, cut her in pieces, and sent her throughout all the territory of the inheritance of Israel, because they committed lewdness and outrage at Israel. Look, all of you are children of Israel. Give your advice and counsel here now." So all the people arose as one man, saying, "None of us will go to his tent, nor will any turn back to his house. But now this is the thing which we will do to Geba. We will go up against it by lot. We will take 10 men out of every 100 throughout all the tribes of Israel, 100 out of every 1,000, and 1,000 out of every 10,000 to make provisions for the people that they come to Geba in Benjamin. They may repay all the vileness that they have done in Israel." So all the men of Israel were gathered against the city, united together as one man. Then the tribes of Israel sent men throughout all the tribe of Benjamin, saying, "What is this wickedness that has occurred among you? Now, therefore, deliver up the men, the perverted men who are in Geba, that we may put them to death and remove the evil from Israel." But the children of Benjamin would not listen to the voice of their brothers, the children of Israel. Instead, the children of Benjamin gathered from their cities together to go to battle against the children of Israel. And from their cities at the time, the children of Benjamin numbered 26,000 men who drew the sword, besides inhabitants of Geba who numbered 700 select men. Among all this people were 700 select men who were left-handed. Everyone could swing a stone at a hair's breadth and not miss. Now besides Benjamin, the men of Israel numbered 400,000 men who drew the sword. All of these were men of war, Then the children of Israel rose and went up to the house of God to inquire of God. They said, which of us should go up for first to battle against the children of Israel? The Lord said, Judah first. So the children of Israel rose in the morning and encamped against Geba. And the men of Israel went out to battle against Benjamin. And the men of Israel put themselves in battle array to fight against them at Geba. Then the children of Benjamin came out of Geba, and on that day cut down to the ground 22,000 men of the Israelites. And the people, that is, the men of Israel, encouraged themselves and again formed the battle line at the place where they had put themselves in array on the first day. Then the children of Israel went up and wept before the Lord until evening and asked counsel of the Lord, saying, shall I again draw near the battle against the children of my brother Benjamin? And the Lord said, go up against them. So the children of Israel approached the children of Benjamin on the second day. And Benjamin went out against them from Geba on the second day and cut down to the ground 18,000 more of the children of Israel that drew the sword. Then all the children of Israel, that is, all the people, went up and came to the house of God and wept. They sat there before the Lord and fasted that day until evening. And they offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before the Lord. So the children of Israel inquired of the Lord. The ark of the covenant of God was there in those days. And Phani and Phinehas, the son of Elijah, the son of Aaron, stood before it in those days, saying, shall I yet again go out to battle against the children of my brother Benjamin, or shall I cease? And the Lord said, go up, for tomorrow I will deliver them into your hands. Then Israel set men in ambush all around Geba. And the children of Israel went up against the children of Benjamin on the third day and put themselves in battle array against Geba as at the other time. So the children of Benjamin went out against the people and were drawn away from the city. They began to strike down and kill some of the people as at the other time in the highways, one of which goes up to Bethel and the other to Geba. And in the field, about 30 men of Israel. And the children of Benjamin said, they are defeated before us as at first. Because it's like, we done beat them up once. We done beat them up twice. We're about to go out and beat them up a third time. Is how the children of Benjamin were feeling. They were feeling like, we're doing this thing, and so we're going to do it again. And maybe they'll go home. But the children of Israel said, let us flee and draw them away from the cities to the highways. So all the men of Israel rose from their place and put themselves in battle array at Baal Tamar. Then Israel's men in ambush burst forth from their position in the plain of Geba. And 10,000 select men from all Israel came against Geba. And the battle was fierce, but the Benjamites did not know that disaster was upon them. The Lord defeated Benjamin before Israel, and the children of Israel destroyed that day 25,100 Benjamites. All these drew the sword. All these drew the sword. So the children of Benjamin saw that they were defeated. The men of Israel had given ground to the Benjamites because they relied on the men in ambush whom they had set against Geba. And the men of ambush quickly rushed upon Geba. The men in ambush spread out and struck the whole city with the edge of the sword. Now the appointed signal between the men of Israel and the men in ambush was that they would make a great cloud of smoke rise up from the city, whereupon the men of Israel would turn in battle. Now Benjamin had begun to strike and kill about 30 of the men of Israel, for they said, surely they are defeated before us as in the first battle. But when the cloud began to rise from the city in a column of smoke, the Benjamites looked behind it, and there was the whole city going up in smoke to heaven. And when the men of Israel turned back, the men of Benjamin panicked, for they saw that disaster had come upon them. Therefore, they turned their backs before the men of Israel in the direction of the wilderness. But the battle overtook them, and whoever came out of the city, they destroyed in their midst. They surrounded the Benjamites, chased them, and easily trampled them down as far as the front of Geba toward the east, and 18,000 men of Benjamin fell. All these were men of valor. Then they turned and fled towards the wilderness and the rock of Ramon, and they cut down 5,000 of them on the highway. Then they pursued them relentlessly up to Gidom and killed 2,000 of them. So all who fell at Benjamin that day were 25,000 men who drew the sword, and these were men of valor. But 600 men turned and fled toward the wilderness to the rock of Ramon. And they stayed in the rock of Ramon for 4 months. And the men of Israel turned back the children of Benjamin and struck them down with the edge of the sword from every city, men, beasts, all who were found. They also set fire to all the cities they came to. Now the men of Israel had sworn an oath of mitzvah, saying, none of us shall give his daughter to Benjamin as wife. Then the people came to the house of God and remained there before God till evening. They lifted up their voices and wept bitterly and said, O Lord God of Israel, why has this come to pass in Israel, that today there should be one tribe missing in Israel? So it was on the next morning that the people rose early and built an altar there and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings. The children of Israel said, who is there among all the tribes of Israel who did not come up with assembly to the Lord? But they had made a great oath concerning anyone who had not come up to the Lord and this was saying, he shall surely be put to death. And the children of Israel grieved for Benjamin, their brother, and said, one tribe is cut off from Israel today. What shall we do for wives for those who remain, seeing we have sworn by the Lord that we will not give them our daughters as wives? Said, What one is there from the tribes of Israel who did not come up to Mizpah to the Lord? And in fact, no one had come to the camp from Jabesh-Gilead to the assembly. But when the people were counted, indeed, not one of the inhabitants of Jabesh-Gilead was there. So the congregation sent out their 12,000 of their most valiant men and commanded them, saying, go and strike the inhabitants of Jabesh-Gilead with the edge of the sword, including the women and children. It's like, what? So they found among the inhabitants of Jabesh-Gilead 400 young virgins who had not known a man intimately, and they brought them to the camp at Shiloh, which is in the land of Canaan. Then the whole congregation sent word to the children of Benjamin, who were at the rock of Ramon, and announced peace to them. So Benjamin came back at that time, and they gave them the women whom they had saved alive of the women of Jabesh-Gilead, and yet they had not found enough for them. And the people grieved for Benjamin, because the Lord had made a void in the tribes of Israel. Then the elders of the congregation said, what shall we do for wives for those who remain, since the women of Benjamin have been destroyed? And they said, there must be an inheritance for the survivors of Benjamin, that a tribe may not be destroyed from Israel. However, we cannot give them wives from our daughters, for the children of Israel have sworn an oath saying, cursed be the one who gives a wife to Benjamin. Then they said, in fact, there is a yearly feast of the Lord in Shiloh, which is north of Bethel, on the east side of the highway that goes up from Bethel to Shechem and south to Lebona. Therefore, they instructed the children of Benjamin, saying, go, lie in wait in the vineyards and watch. And just when the daughters of Shiloh come out to perform their dances, then come out from the vineyards, and every man catch a wife for himself from the daughters of Shiloh, then go to the land of Benjamin. Then it shall be, when their brothers of their fathers or their brothers come to us to complain, that we will say to them, be kind to them for our sake, because we did not take a wife for any of them in the war. For it is not as though you have given the women to them at this time, making yourself guilty of your oath. And the children of Benjamin did so. They took enough wives for their number from those who danced, whom they caught. Then they went and returned to their inheritance, and they rebuilt the city who dwelt in them. So the children of Israel departed from there at the time, every man to his tribe and every family. They went out from there, every man to his inheritance. In those days, there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. But again, we all know that the eyes of God see everything. The eyes of the Lord are in. So as they were doing everything that was right in their own sight, God was seeing what they were doing wrong. Let's go to our 51st Psalm, verses 12 through 19. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me by your generous spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners shall be converted to you. Deliver me from the guilt of bloodshed, O God, the God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall show forth your praise. For you do not desire sacrifice, or else I would give it. You do not delight in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise. Do good in your good pleasure to Zion. Build the walls of Jerusalem. Then you shall be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offerings and whole burnt offerings. Then they shall offer bulls in your altar. On your altar. And as we go back, in our judge's words for a life lesson, and our psalm for a life lesson, then we will go into our proverb and give a life lesson, and then we'll go into our New Testament word. And in our judges chapter 20, verse 46, all fell on Benjamin that day were 25,000 men. The tribe of Benjamin lost more than 25,000 men in battle, while Israel lost over 40,000, a bloody civil war that didn't need to happen. When we lose connection to God's word, we lose our senses. They lost connection to God. You had perversity. You had murder. But you had one man who was not all the way righteous himself create this war, because he is the one that gave his concubine to the men of Benjamin to violate, to treat as if she was just a piece of meat. He did that. And then he wanted revenge upon it, instead of taking the consequences himself. He saved himself at her expense and caused a bloody civil war within the tribe. And as we go to our psalm, and that's just something to think about, because he thought he was doing right in his own eyes, not in God's, but in his own, and annihilated the whole tribe, basically, because of his pride, and because he felt what he was doing was right in his own eyes. We have to be very careful that we don't think we are smarter, tougher than God, that we do what we want to do in our eyes and not in the eyes of God. And as we continue in this word, it goes on to tell us, restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me by your generous spirit. 51st Psalm, verse 12. And it tells us, although we can never lose our salvation once we genuinely come to Christ by faith, we can lose the joy of our salvation through our sin. Only through confession and reliance on his Spirit can we return to joy. The joy of the Lord is our strength. And we need to remember that as we go through our day, that joy, the joy, unspeakable joy that comes from God is what gets us through the day. Because the enemy wants to make you feel bad. The enemy wants to say, oh, you can't do that today. You know you don't feel well. You know you're coughing, so you're going to cough all through your show. So why don't you just cancel it today? No. I'm going to do my assignment. And God covering me, and I know it. Because God's eyes see everything. The Lord sees it all. He knows it all. He knows you're good. He knows you're bad. He knows you're downright ugly. He knows everything about you. He knows everything about me. But God is good all the time. But he sees us. He sees our innermost. He sees our heart. He knows a hard heart. He knows a heart that's open and ready to receive him. He knows us, each and every one of us. Question is, do we know the Lord? And as we continue in our Proverbs 15, verses 1 through 3, a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. The tongue of the wise uses knowledge rightly, but the mouth of fools pours forth foolishness. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, keeping watch on the evil and the good. And that is our title comes from that scripture. The eyes of the Lord sees everything. And this is what it says here. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, keeping watch on the evil and the good. And this is a word Dr. Stanley gives us. Nothing ever escapes the notice of God. So nothing ever surprises him. Since nothing ever surprises him, he always has exactly the right plan in place to accomplish precisely what he desires for reward or for judgment. Whatever you get ready to do wrong, just remember, the eyes of God are on you. When you get ready to talk about somebody, remember, the eyes of God are upon you. When you want to go there and state the piece of your mind, I'm going to give a piece of my mind, you're going to wind up with Alzheimer's giving a piece of your mind. You're going to wind up with nothing giving a piece of your mind. Don't give a piece of nothing. Keep your tongue behind your teeth and give it to God. Whatever the situation is, you don't have to tell Sally off. You don't have to tell Sister Joyce that she hurt your feelings and that she didn't speak to you and she this and she that and woo, woo, woo. To stand in God's place because you just don't know that they may be having a bad day too. And it's not about you at all. It doesn't have anything to do with you. Maybe they were social distancing. Maybe they were not feeling well. Maybe they were having some issues because somebody in their family had passed on. Maybe they just needed to get to the altar. And maybe they did not notice you because it was not about you on today. People get their feelings hurt and get attitudes over nothing. But understand that there are those that are there to God, and they are trying to get to the altar. They're trying to get up in that tree like Zacchaeus to see Jesus. So let's go to our New Testament word this morning. And we're coming out of Luke chapter 19. And it says, then Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Now behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, who was a chief tax collector. He was a big deal. And he was rich. And we're talking in earthly riches. And he sought to see who Jesus was, but could not because of the crowd, but he was a short stature. He was like me. He was a little guy. So he ran ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, but he was going to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house. So he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. But when they saw it, they all complained, saying, he has gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner. And we all know who the days are. Them days was the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Them days was the priests and the ones that just knew they had it going on because they were saved. They did this, they did that, and they wasn't like a sinful tax collector. They just knew. And then here goes this man, this rabbi. Why is he going to the house of sinners? Because they, you know, they was probably talking about Jesus like he was a junkyard dog, talking about him like he wasn't nothing because he was doing something that their sanctified self would not do, and that is converse and, oh, my, go into the house of a sinner? My, we can't go over there. Because they thought they was better than him. And this is what it said. Then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, look, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor. If I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Jesus didn't come for the righteous. Jesus didn't come for the holy. Jesus didn't come from the so heavenly minded, no earthly good. Jesus came for the sinner. He came for those like us who are not perfect, who are seeking the Lord, who are seeking more unity to be better. Because we all fall short of God's word, because we all have sinned in some way. Whether it's in thought, whether it's in deed, whether it's with your tongue. Because we are not perfect. We are fallible. We are people. We are human. And we make mistakes. But we are special to God. Because Jesus came for us. Verse 11, now as they heard these things, he spoke another parable, because he was near Jerusalem, and because they thought the kingdom of God would appear immediately. Therefore he said, a certain nobleman seemed for himself a kingdom and to return. So he called 10 of his servants, delivered to them 10 minutes, and said to them, do business till I come. But his citizens hated him and sent a delegation after him, saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. And so it was that when he returned, having received the kingdom, he then commanded these servants to whom he had given the money to be called to him, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Then came to the first, saying, master, your mina has earned 10 minutes. And so he doubled the master's money. He doubled it. And he said to him, well done, good servant, because you were faithful in a very little, have authority over 10 cities. And then second came, saying, master, your mina has earned 5 minutes. Likewise, he said to him, you also be over 5 cities. Then another came, saying, master, Here is your manna, put away in a handkerchief. For I feared you, because you are an astute man. You're astute. You don't, you're not lavish. You're not trying to drive all the fancy cars or live in the fancy house. You are someone that's probably a minimalist. You got what you have, and you want to keep it. You collect what you did not deposit and reap what you did not sow. And he said to him, out of your own mouth I will judge you, you wicked servant. You knew that I was an austere man, collecting what I did not deposit and reaping what I did not sow. Why then did you not put my money in the bank, that at my coming I might have collected it with interest? And he said to those who stood by, take the mina from him and give it to him who has 10 mina. But they say to him, Master, he has 10 mina. For I say to you that to everyone who has will be given, and from whom who does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. But bring here those enemies of mine who did not want me to reign over them and slay them before me. Don't play. Because we all fall short. What little you have, you got to make it stretch. You know, it's so easy to hope for more, but we got to make stretch what we got. If you know you got that rainy day fund, if it's not raining, leave that fund alone. Because one day you will need it, and it will not be there. And I'm speaking from my own experience, from having a lot to having a lot less, because I didn't think. But understand, I also believe in the word of God, that God takes care of his own. Just like he does the lilies of the field, he takes care of us. When you need it, God does provide. That I can attest to as well. Life lessons, Luke 19 and 10. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Jesus said, I see you. The Lord sees us, and that's who he came for us. He was looking for me. He was looking for you. He was looking for the not perfect. He was looking to save our souls. And it comes on to tell us, Jesus came to earth not merely to provide us with an example of godly living, but to make it possible for us joy and intimate relationship with God. He did for us what we could never do on our own. Thank you, Jesus. We need to tell the Lord, thank you every day. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you for loving us so much, for coming for us to seek and to save us, because 99 won't do. Zacchaeus, a life that counts. It wasn't easy being the most hated and one of the shortest, but Zacchaeus, the tax collector, had learned to handle it. In fact, he often overcame difficulties in unorthodox ways, which is how he ended up in a tree to get a look at the miracle worker he had heard so much about. Apparently, Jesus had also heard about him, Zacchaeus. Jesus said, make haste and come down for today. I will stay at your house. He didn't discriminate. He didn't say, oh, you're a tax collector and you short. I can't be seen with you. He said, I'm going to your house. But Jesus there for him. Within minutes, Zacchaeus turned his life over to God. He stopped cheating the people and promised to restore 4 times all he had taken. He repented. He repented. I'm saying it again. He repented and gave back everything he had taken. Zacchaeus eagerly surrendered everything he had to the Lord for all his shortcomings. Zacchaeus realized that following the Savior was the only way to true meaning and purpose. He had spent many lonely nights counting his money. Now he wanted his life to count. Hallelujah. And we have to want our lives to count. Because God, our Lord, sees everything. He sees the good in us. He sees the evil in us. He sees the good, the bad, and the downright ugly. He sees it in us. Because he is God. And he is omnipotent and omnipresent. He knows everything about us. And he wants us to be better. And a last word for this morning's lesson is this. A certain nobleman went into a far country and received for himself a kingdom and to return. Jesus gave a few clues like this, one to indicate that he might not return to earth for a long time. After his ascension, during his absence, we are to continue to faithfully do his work. And we're going to go over real quick to John 9 and 4. So join me in John chapter 9. And we've read this before, but we're going to read it again. Actually, we have. We read this last year. We haven't read it yet. John comes next. But we're going to go to chapter 9, and we're going to go over to verse 4, and we may go back to verse 1, which I believe we're going to do. Verse 1, a man born blind received sight. Now, as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. I must work the works of him who sent me. While it is day, the night is coming, when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Whew. Jesus spoke it. That's why we go backwards to come forward, to get it in context. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. But let's go back. Let's go back to that verse again. Jesus answered, neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. I must work the work of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Whew. Jesus is the light of the world. And when we hear our children sing, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Are you allowing your light to shine today? Keep trusting God and know that he has got you covered. From the crowns of your heads to the soles of your feet, you are special to God. And know that God loves you better than anything. And he sees everything. The Lord God sees everything you do, everything you say, where you go, who you go with, what you do, how you do it. What you say when nobody's listening. The Lord sees it all. And what he asks of us is to repent. To repent. If you said something wrong, repent. If you did something wrong, repent. Repentance will take you farther than anything that money could buy. Ask God, Lord, show me what I need to repent of, so I can ask forgiveness and do it. Because God sees everything. Your good, your bad, and your downright evil, ugly. He sees it. And we need to ask for forgiveness so we can be like Zacchaeus and be saved. Hallelujah. Let's get into our prayer for today and our thoughts after we have a word from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn. And then we will be wrapping it up because it's time to go to work, family. We work for God, and it is time to work. We know that day may not last very much longer, and night is coming. We got to work while Jesus is in us and allowing his light to shine. And this is our word for this morning. Good morning. You are where God wants you to be at this very moment. Every experience is part of his divine plan. Have a worry-free Wednesday is what our sister said, and we will probably read that word one more time before we end today because it's just on point. You know, as you worry about, oh, Lord, I can't breathe. Oh, Lord, I'm coughing again. Oh, Lord, I got to go back to work today. Oh, Lord, God said, I already got you. I already got you. What you worried about? That's me. He's talking to me this morning at 4 in this morning when I woke up coughing. And didn't know why. God was already saying, you got things to do. You got to go to work because I've already healed you. You're fine. Now you got to get up and you got things to do. You're going to read this morning. You're going to preach this morning and you're going to go to work because I'm with you. I see everything. I know you was praying. I know you read your word. I know you listened to your word this morning. I know you had some quiet time today. Now it's time to get up. You got work to do. And you'll be fine. And I have been, and I thank God. And this is what the word says for this morning in our prayer. And it says, my safety, they will not be disgraced in hard times. Even in famine, they will have more than enough. God will give you everything you need. Whatever food you need, he will fill your refrigerators and your pantries. Whatever you need, God will provide because that's what he does. Rock of salvation, you are the refuge my soul longs for. I stand on your foundation of peace that keeps me steady no matter what is going on around me. I am always connected to your abundant grace that empowers me with everything I need. I know you will provide for me when resources are running thin. You won't leave me hanging. You never do. When I walk through hard times, you will lead me out. They won't last forever. Ooh, I believe that. Even in the middle of them, you give me everything I need to survive. You're so good in your provision. I could never exhaust your reserves. What good news. You are so reliable, Lord. Why would I look anywhere else for the help I need when you freely give it? You are so rich in love and mercy. Your peace is my portion in every season. Joy dwells deep within me, connected to your fountain of life. I am so grateful for your friendship. You are the best. I'm grateful this morning to be a friend of God. I'm grateful that he knows every hair on my head, the silver and the dark. I'm grateful this morning that God woke me up, put breath in my body to speak. I am grateful that he has placed me in the rock. Hallelujah. I am grateful that he has been with me through lean, through good, through bad, through lean. He has never left or forsaken me, and he will not leave or forsake you. In the name of Jesus, thank God this morning. And let the Lord know I am so grateful for your friendship, God. You are the best. In Jesus' name, we lift up this prayer. We lift up this word this morning. And as I pray, may the Lord watch between me and thee. I thank God for the breath in my body this morning. I thank God that he gave me a do-over. I thank God that he is good and kind and loving. I thank God that he sees me. Hallelujah. Because to some we are invisible. But to God, we are seen. And our word to think about today is this. Where do you find your security in hard times? Do you find them in God? And as our sister in Christ said this morning, as we get ready to wrap it up, one more time, a word from Sister Carolyn that just fits. Good morning. You are where God wants you to be at this very moment. Whatever season you are in, you're in the season that God wants you to be in. And when that season is up, he will move you to your next season. He will move you to your next assignment, wherever or whenever that is. God is in charge of everything, and he sees you. Every experience is part of his divine plan for your life. Remember that. So as Sister Carolyn says, you are where God wants you to be at this very moment. Every experience is part of his divine plan. And I say to you as we wrap up this morning, have a worry-free Wednesday. And I want to say, have a worshiping God Wednesday. Because when we worship, everything else falls into place. Trust God today that he will renew your strength, that he will help you to fly like eagles. He will help you through all that you are going through. Don't worry. Just pray. And have a worry-free Wednesday, because our Father God sees you. He knows your name. You are his friend, and you belong to him. Thank you so much again, family, for listening in this morning. It is time for us to get up. It's time for us to go to work. It's time for us to do what we are called to do by God. Whatever is your assignment today, don't worry about it. Just do it. As the little switch says, just do it. Thank you, Nike. That's what we have to do. Just get up, get moving, do what you got to do. Trust God and know that you are special. God gave me breath to speak this morning, and he's going to give you eyes to see, ears to hear, and a voice to speak. Whatever thus says the Lord. God is in charge of what? Everything. And I say this, the Lord has eyes. The eyes of the Lord sees everything. And he sees you. And he loves you. Be blessed, family. It is, as we say on Moving Forward, it is a wrap. Why? Because this girl's got to go to work. Love you all. Be blessed. And know that we will be real workers, doubling what the Master has given us. Don't worry. Have a worry-free Wednesday. Don't worry. Work the work to do on today. Worship. And know that God is with you wherever you go, because he sees you. He has eyes everywhere. Remember that. When that little membrane behind your teeth gets ready to say something that it should, oh, shoot, the Lord is watching me. Let me not think that. Let me not speak that. It's all good. Be blessed, family. It's a wrap, because it is all good. And we are having a what? Worry-free Wednesday. Let God take care of all your situations today, because he's got it all under control. Love you all. Be blessed. It's a wrap.